Dan Garrity from the KSFR newsroom joining you now as At Noon looks at the top local news headlines for this Friday, October 4th. Electric utility PNM has appeared at the Public Regulation Commission this morning to present a summary of its power planning supply. PNM is preparing to decommission two of its four coal-fired units at the San Juan Generating Station by 2018, representing 340 megawatts of power. PNM is proposing a mix of energy sources as replacement, 40 megawatts derived from solar, 177 megawatts from gas, and 134 megawatts of nuclear power from the Palo Verde nuclear facility in Arizona. We'll have more on this story for you a bit later as At Noon continues. Three Republican state legislators serving Rio Rancho want a new process for evaluating the worthiness of state capital outlay funding for public projects there. State Senator Craig Brandt and Representatives Tim Lewis and Jason Harper say all proposed projects must demonstrate an ability to create jobs for Rio Rancho. The criterion is intended for projects that would be funded by severance tax bonding capacity, which in 2014 is expected to be some $40 million less than this year. A public forum for proposals is scheduled for December. The government shutdown could close a program that women and children rely on for food. In New Mexico, the Women, Infants, and Children Food Program, or WIC, feeds nearly 60,000 residents every month. KOAT-TV's website reports the state is now moving money around to make sure women and children who depend on WIC will still get their food. The State Department of Health will use more than $1 million from last year's WIC budget to keep the services going this year. Santa Fe Public Schools reports that late this morning, police and fire personnel were called to the campus of Pinon Elementary School due to a suspicious package being found on campus. The police and fire personnel have assessed the situation and removed the shelter-in-place order. Students and staff are safe, and normal operations have resumed at the school. The Albuquerque Balloon Fiesta launches its 42nd event tomorrow. Tom Garrity is the Fiesta's Director of Media Relations.
This year we are going to have 9 days of flying events, starting off with our signature mass ascensions. And, of course, we're going to have 5 different balloon glows this year.
Garrity says the 9-day event kicks off at 6:45 a.m. tomorrow, with more than 550 balloons registered for the Fiesta. Immigrant rights advocate Somos Un Pueblo Unido is leading a statewide caravan to Hobbs, New Mexico this Sunday. That's the hometown of Republican Congressman Steve Pierce, who does not support a path to citizenship as part of comprehensive immigration reform. Pierce instead favors a temporary guest worker program. The march is part of the National Day of Action for Immigration Reform. Immigrants make up at least 12% of the state's workforce, and Hispanic-owned business in New Mexico generates over $6.5 billion in revenue each year. New Mexico State Parks is making an outreach to the public to assure them that parks under state control are unaffected by the closures now gripping our national parks and monuments due to the federal government shutdown. They're touting the fact that we're nearing the peak fall foliage season, and due to recent heavy rains, many of the parks, lakes, and rivers are in better condition than they've been in the past 5 years. Canceled due to the federal government shutdown is the only public hearing in the country on controversial changes to the Mexican gray wolf reintroduction program. It was to have taken place today at Albuquerque's Embassy Suites, but the hotel says no such event is on their schedule. Some 75 Mexican gray wolves still survive in Arizona and New Mexico. A U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service proposal was to have been discussed that would allow release of captive-bred wolves into New Mexico's Gila National Forest. UNM Hospital has instituted a new policy requiring all employees to get a flu shot. Workers have received a memo making reference to mandatory immunization by December 1st, after which failure to have done so will result in disciplinary action, including possible firing. KOB-TV's website reports that union members employed by the hospital say the issue was never negotiated, and they may now consider taking legal action. And in weather for Santa Fe, much cooler both today and tomorrow, with highs only near 55 under sunny skies. Meteorologist Brian Geyer with the National Weather Service office in Albuquerque says a dry cold front will be bringing gusty conditions later today.
Wind chill values actually by the end of the day will probably feel in the low 40s. As we move into tonight, we are expecting a hard freeze for the Santa Fe area. Temperatures will range from about 25 degrees around the plaza to 30 degrees near the airport.
Meanwhile, the current Santa Fe temperature is 56 degrees. And taking a look at some national news briefs making headlines today, a Louisiana man just released from prison on Tuesday after 41 years in solitary confinement has died of liver cancer. Herman Wallace, 71 years old, died this morning. He was freed after a federal judge ruled his 1974 murder conviction violated his right to a fair trial. Wallace, one of the so-called Angola Three convicted in the murder of a prison guard, was diagnosed with cancer this year. He had maintained his innocence until his death. One of the three, Robert King, was released in 2001, but Wallace and another man, Albert Woodfox, remained incarcerated, isolated in tiny jail cells, and allowed out to shower or exercise just 1 hour a day. A service that digitally weaves together the DNA of prospective parents to check for potential disease in thousands of virtual babies is set to launch in the U.S. by December. New York startup Genapeex will initial focus on donor sperm, simulating pregnancy, how the genetic sequence of a female client might combine with those of different males. Donors that more often produce digital children with a higher risk of inherited disorders will be filtered out, leaving those who are better genetic matches. And we'll take a quick look at Wall Street now at midday. All the major indices are in positive territory at this hour. The Dow currently up 78 points at 15,075. The Nasdaq up 34 at 3,808. And the S&P 500 up 11 points. It stands at 1,689. At noon on KSFR, we'll continue in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Lois Rudnick, a member of the board of KSFR. KSFR is proud to announce its first ever raffle of six of Northern New Mexico's most outstanding writers. For a mere $25 contribution per ticket, you have the opportunity to take one of them to lunch at Zia Dina. We will raffle off one author each day, so listen closely during the KSFR fundraiser that begins on Sunday, October 6th. Buy as many tickets as you can afford and wait to hear if your name is read on air at the end of the day.
14 minutes past the hour as At Noon segues to today's feature stories. Today, PNM has presented plans to the Public Regulation Commission outlining how they wish to replace the energy the utility will lose once it decommissions two of the four coal-fired units at the San Juan Generating Station. That's to happen by 2018, pending state and federal approvals, and is the utility's course of compliance with federal air quality requirements to reduce haze and pollution in the Four Corners region. Joining us now to talk more about the matter is Pat O'Connell, Director of Planning and Resources at Public Service Company of New Mexico. Pat, give us the overview of PNM's presentation.
We're looking at our 20-year resource portfolio. So in order to illustrate the process, we have developed resources that would replace two units at San Juan Generating Station that we expect to retire to comply with the regional haze rule. And so we talked through that and the overall process. It's called our integrated resource plan that we will present to the commission later next year.
And the decommissioning of two of San Juan's four units, that creates a deficit of how much energy?
Yeah, we're looking at retiring about 340 megawatts of capacity at San Juan.
And alternative replacements being proposed?
The best package of replacements right now looks like a mixture of nuclear, solar, and natural gas peaking capacity.
The nuclear power, that's harvested from the Palo Verde nuclear facility in Arizona. Is that a facility with which PNM currently has a relationship and presently draws power from?
Yes, PNM owns 10% of Palo Verde Generating Station. We currently use two-thirds of it to supply our customer needs. What we're talking about is adding the last third to the mix. So, Palo Verde's existing nuclear station has been online since the mid-'80s. It's got a license to run through 2047, 2007-ish into that time frame. So it's an existing resource. It's been online, will be online. What we're talking about doing is using the power from the last third that we own to supply New Mexico customers.
The solar portion of replacement energy is pegged at 40 megawatts. Is that amount based upon currently available solar power resources, or does it project solar development that will come into existence over the next few years?
Yeah, Dan, you're right. We're talking about 40 megawatts of solar, and that would be solar that we will build in 2015 to come online in 2016. So it's a new solar resource, and it's based on what we've learned through our renewable procurement process in terms of what the solar price is now. It has come down quite a bit over the last few years, and we've also increased that capability of the solar resource by using single-axis tracking technology. So that's the combination of those items is what leads to solar being a cost-effective part of that resource mix to replace the San Juan capacity.
When we talk about these potential replacements in the portfolio, do they represent a significant cost increase over current costs?
We haven't determined exactly the cost increase that this package will result in, and what we're comparing it to is the cost associated with installing an expensive technology at San Juan Generating Station that would only reduce nitrogen oxide emissions. So that's part of the overall plan for regional haze compliance at San Juan is we're able to install a technology that does decrease nitrogen oxide emissions on the units that will continue to operate up there. We'll be shutting down two units, so the combination of those two moves results in a significant decrease in not just NOx emissions, but carbon dioxide emissions and the other emissions associated with burning coal at San Juan. So then the cost of these replacement options to fill in for the retired capacity at San Juan will be less than the original proposal, which was to install the more expensive technology that only reduces nitrogen oxides.
You presented this information to the PRC. Was this for informational purposes only, or is there some pending approval to come from them even at this point?
It's one of several meetings that we have held, and we'll hold some more as the year goes on. And the goal of today's meeting is to improve our planning process through public input. So we're constantly planning how to best meet our customers' needs. For the integrated resource plan, we open up our process to be transparent and accept comment through the process with the goal of improving the process so our plan is better.
And again, referring back to the decommission at San Juan, that is in motion, but it is pending final approval. From whom must that final approval be received, and on what timeline is that expected?
Yeah, the plan at San Juan, as you said, is in motion. The first significant approval was the New Mexico Environmental Improvement Board, and that approval happened on September 5th. The next step is New Mexico will forward the plan to EPA, so EPA will follow their process, and there will ultimately, we hope, accept the plan. And so that completes the approval of the regional haze compliance plan. Then also, because we're talking about retiring units that are currently used for service to our customers, then PNM will also file a process with the Public Regulation Commission where we'll ask for abandonment of the units that we're taking offline, and there will be several filings over the next couple of years where we talk about approval to build and employ the capacity replacement options we just talked about.
Pat O'Connell, Director of Planning and Resources at Public Service Company of New Mexico, many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR.
Celebrate the work of outstanding nonprofits in our region at the 2013 Santa Fe Community Foundation Pinon Awards, Tuesday, October 8th. Join the Community Foundation for the awards ceremony and dinner at La Fonda as they honor Aspen Santa Fe Ballet, New Energy Economy, Breakthrough Santa Fe, and Pecos Valley Medical Center, as well as philanthropic leaders Nancy Mamel and Jim Duncan Sr.
For tickets, visit santafecf.org or call 988-9715. A message from the tax-exempt Santa Fe Community Foundation.
21 minutes past the hour as At Noon continues. Coming up next week on the Santa Fe Community College campus, and with participation by the City of Santa Fe and others, is a public forum titled Local Response to Climate Change. The headliner will be world-acclaimed speaker and honored environmentalist Søren Hermansen of Denmark. Joining us now to talk about the event is Nick Schiavo, energy specialist for the City of Santa Fe. Nick, share with us some information on this particular event.
I know that the Santa Fe Community College has been instrumental in getting him to come out. The Sustainable Santa Fe Commission is very excited. They will be in attendance. I know that the Regional Development Corporation has also been a key part of this. And I'm deeply disappointed because the timing just worked out that I'm going to be out of town, so I'm going to miss a very interesting talk, something that I've been following over the last 2 to 3 years.
And Sorensen is going to talk about his role as director for a project backed by the Danish government. That is the Samsø Island Renewable Energy Project that has successfully demonstrated creation of a sustainable community based entirely on renewable energy sources. I would imagine this is something that would be of great interest to you in your role as city energy specialist.
Very interesting, and it was kind of like what a Denmark X Games. They put it out, and that island of Samsø, that municipality, stepped up and said that we think we can do it. We think we can be a 100% run on 100% renewable energy. And the way they did it was with a lot of wind energy, and my understanding is they were also burning waste. A waste crop. At the end, they would burn their hay, and so they said, well, maybe we could use this hay to actually generate electricity and at the same time do a district heating system. So you would take that heat, generate steam, run a turbine, make electricity, take that waste heat, and heat homes at the same time. And so some people may think, well, that you're burning something that's not renewable energy, but in this case, What they're saying is that this is can be this crop of hay, this waste of the hay can actually be grown each year, and it's a renewable source. That coupled with the wind energy they have, my understanding is that they're able to generate more electricity than they actually use, and are doing a little bit of exporting at this point.
And do projects such as Samsø inspire innovations you might like to see adapted for use here in Santa Fe?
So when I think about something like this, it would be very exciting, and it is definitely technically feasible to have, you know, the state of New Mexico or certainly the city of Santa Fe be running on 100% renewable energy. The challenge is, you know, and everyone knows that the great resources we have between wind and sun, but I think the challenge comes down to is that there are, you know, people are invested or different companies are invested in a certain type of setup. And so I don't want to say anything negative about the electric utility, but they've spent a lot of money to generate coal, generate power from coal and from natural gas and from nuclear energy. And so with that investment, they're not as anxious to make this kind of a shift. And so when you look at what happened with Denmark, that this came down from their energy ministry, and they wanted to do this X game kind of scenario to see what they could do. I don't see that same kind of support here within the U.S. We don't have that that vision coming from the top down, so it's a little more difficult for us to do something like that. So now to answer your question, could it be done? Most definitely. It's obviously they've proven that it could be done, and it certainly could be done here in the U.S. I just don't know if there's the will for it at the corporate level.
We've heard talk recently about Santa Fe considering establishment of its own power utility operation. That's something that actually was quite common in the early 20th century across our country before the rise of big corporate power concerns. Is that idea gathering traction in Santa Fe, and would it allow for utilization of more renewables?
Most definitely. We could, if the city had a municipal utility, we would have many more choices about where we could get where we could generate electricity from, and I'm sure, knowing this town, if we had those choices, most of them would come from renewable sources. We would have more flexibility to buy wind power from eastern New Mexico. I think we would push harder to get a greater percentage of photovoltaic solar power right here in our own town. And as far as what's been going on downtown, the sense that I get is that most of the city councilors are interested in investigating the possibilities of creating a municipal utility.
Nick Schiavo, energy specialist for the City of Santa Fe, thanks for joining us here at noon. And that public forum we were talking about on climate change with Herman Sorensen takes place next Tuesday, October 8th at 3 p.m. on the Santa Fe Community College campus.
Support comes from Lannan Foundation, presenting a reading and conversation with Jamaica Kincaid on Wednesday, October 16th, 7 p.m. at the Linzic. Novelist and short story writer Jamaica Kincaid's books include Lucy and Annie John. Her recent See Now Then chronicles of the death of a marriage like a beautiful elegy. Kincaid, whose work has been called loosely autobiographical, has said, "Everything I say is true and everything I say is not true." Tickets at the Linzic or TicketSantaFe.com.
27 minutes past the hour as At Noon continues. A proposal being pushed by Santa Fe City Councilor Chris Calvert seeks stringent limits on the number of musicians performing for donations in and around the plaza. Joining me now here at the news desk is KSFR's Tom Trowbridge. Tom, you went to the plaza to sample public opinion. How did that go?
Well, Dan, there's some very strong opinions on this issue. Some consider the musicians playing in the heart of the city as part of the culture, the ambiance, so to speak. Others, including Councilor Calvert, see the musicians as an aesthetic nuisance. Here's my report. Mid-afternoon on the plaza, and music is in the air. A century-old Spanish harp is being played by performer Tony Avila. Avila is a licensed Santa Fe busker with a donation bucket nearby. Avila doesn't like the city's new proposal.
To take away a freedom of speech such as music, or for that matter art, or whatever, man, really, as long as it's not offensive to anyone or it complies with any regulations. I mean, it seems silly to me that they're going to take away the buskers. Let's say I want to play music for free. I can't do that? I'm not allowed to do that?
Avila, a veteran busker, sees no need for limits.
I know Santa Fe is it's a small city, but with a high concentration of artists, musicians, food, tourism. Now, why are we going to take anything away from that? Why are we going to limit anything? If anything, I want everything. Give me everything. Don't limit me. Don't tell me you can't have this or this or this.
In between questions, Avila jammed on his harp. Dancing to Avila's accompaniment is an elderly woman who goes by Mukti. Mukti says she regularly stops by the plaza to enjoy the entertainment, and she agrees with Avila's thoughts on expression.
For me, the only thing I could say, it is unfair to take the music from the plaza away.
But another plaza regular, Doc Murra, sees an issue with amplified music, although he's in favor of music on the plaza generally.
No, I don't think that's right, because that's the charm of the plaza, is the music being played here all the time. The tourists love it. It's the merchants that are complaining because they get in front of their stores and they crank up their amplifiers where they can't do business in the stores. And these guys are paying $30,000 and $40,000 a month for rent. They can't have their customers, turning away because of the noise. Keep the buskers here, but get rid of amplified music. No more amplifiers.
Murrah says the original Santa Fe busker ordinance prohibited amplifiers, and he suggests a return to that as a solution. Back near the center of the plaza, harpist Avila, in between jams, says the busker crowd basically monitors itself.
For the most part, if you're from here, with the exception of the new guys, you're going to say, hey, do you mind if I jam over here? And for the most part, by the way, I play an acoustic instrument, so for the most part, it doesn't conflict with anything.
Avila says he noticed city officials monitoring decibel levels on the plaza this summer and believes that the city's statutory limits are arbitrary.
Now, according to the regulations, you can have 65 decibels, a musician. Well, they measured over 65, but then they measured what's known as the background noise. That's the static, all the stuff in the background. Well, that was 75 decibels.
That was Tony Avila playing on the plaza. And Dan, I was a bit surprised only seeing one musician. I was under the impression I'd see several.
Do you have any idea why that was?
Well, one of the sources you just heard, Doc Murrah, explained that the performers, a lot of them, were holding a meeting to organize opposition to the city's proposal.
There are more than 200 licensed buskers in Santa Fe. They pay $35 a year for the privilege to perform. The matter goes before the city's Public Safety Committee on October 15th. At Noon will continue in just a moment.
Support for KSFR comes from Upaya Zen Center. Upaya welcomes the community during its fall practice period, a time for turning inward and allowing deep reflection. Attend as a Zenkai, a day-long silent meditation retreat, on November 2nd or November 9th, or come for the fall sesshin entitled Silent Illumination, an intensive 5-day silent meditation retreat, November 12th to 17th. To learn more, visit upaya.org. That's upaya.org.
12:33 here in the KSFR newsroom, just past the bottom of the hour, is the ideal time to spend 60 seconds with our resident curmudgeon, Christopher Hagen.
It's kind of interesting. I know I find everything kind of interesting. To be working next to the new Santa Fe County Courthouse, though not necessarily always fun. The flow of parking interlopers was substantial when the courthouse first opened. It stands to reason that if you're running late to a hearing in front of a judge, you aren't going to be bothered by a no parking sign, especially if you're going in front of the judge for, say, aggravated assault. Watching the people come and go from the county courthouse, you can pretty much tell who got dressed up for a court appearance. Sometimes I feel sorry for these apparently accused, but then I remember that most of them were probably arrested for trying to take something that wasn't theirs. But why is it, I wonder, that male alleged perpetrators almost always seem to have good-looking girlfriends? Heck, I'm thinking of breaking the law just so I can have an arresting girlfriend. Arresting. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.
And with that, we conclude today's edition of At Noon, KSFR's extended noon news hour. Dan Garrity with you here at the news desk, with thanks to my contributing colleague today, Tom Trowbridge. Tune in tomorrow at this time for our At Noon weekend edition.